welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
I'd like to take this first moment, please, to have us all collect together and take a moment to go inside. Yeah. And let's send some positive thoughts to the area in the country that's been hit most recently with the double whammies of storms and Sandy. What this show today is going to be about is taking our power back so that when crisis hit and we feel like we don't have power and we feel like it's out of our hands, that we don't go into panic and instead we can trust and handle it. The statistics show that it isn't Well, studies show, not the statistics. I'm about to quote some pretty startling statistics. And again, the whole overall intention of my platform, of my book, of my work with people is to restore the power back to each of us so that we no longer give over our power to outside forces or sources like doctors or like clergy for our connection to our bodies and our connections to our spirits so that we can know what's going on in our systems and we can know what to do. There's an aspect too of, and I think it's too soon to introduce that. On many, many, many shows we've talked about how consciousness is creating our point of reality that we see as our reality, our experiences. And if our consciousness is directed in a certain way, then we end up with the experiences we end up with. I want to go back in. I'm going to take a moment and pause and go into theta and do some clearing. Hold on a second. Sit back and relax. You don't want to be driving right now, operating any heavy equipment or machinery. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief from any and all listeners now and in the future. This is too much, I can't handle it. Yes, replacing it with this is too much, I can't handle it. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you download the feeling of being able to easily handle whatever it is the listener is thinking about and experiencing. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the knowing how to go about each of their day-to-day lives for the listeners both now and in the future, being completely able to handle whatever it is that's going on. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, understanding on calm and on trust. Show me. For each of their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it for each person at their history level. There's too much going on, something bad is going to happen. Yes. Replacing it with, there's too much going on, something bad is going to happen. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I deserve to struggle, yes. Replacing it with, I deserve to struggle, no. Show me. Creator, it is the command of please to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I deserve to struggle, yes. Replacing it with I deserve ease, yes. Show me. Creator, it is command of please to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I can't, yes. Replacing it with I can, yes. Show me. Creator, it is command of please to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Something bad is always around the corner. Yes. Replacing it with something bad is always around the corner. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of the listeners' history levels. Something bad is happening. Yes. Replacing it with something bad is happening. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. I can't handle this. Yes. Replacing it with I can handle this. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of being able to handle whatever it is the listener is going through. Me. Creator, it is commanded you download the knowing how to go about each of their day-to-day lives successfully handling and easily handling whatever it is they're going through. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of crisis and of ease for each of their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of the listeners' history levels. Life is so difficult all the time. Yes? Replacing it with life is so difficult all the time. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of their history levels. Life has its really hard times. Yes. Replacing it with life has its really hard times. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of the history levels of the listeners. Life is difficult. Yes. Replacing it with life is easy. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, to pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at each of the listeners' history levels. This will never change. Yes. Replacing it with this is changing. Yes. Show me. Okay, so slowly come on back and just let your cognitive mind hear this information as your being connects in with this feeling or tone, or what's also called a vibration of ease and calm and peace. We've had a major event this week with the elections, as we all know. And December 21st is next month. And there's lots of stuff that's coming up for people. It's the nature of the times we're in right now. It doesn't mean that we're in a catastrophic mode. It doesn't mean that everything is falling apart and is going to stay falling apart. Stuff is breaking down from everything I hear all the experts say on the nature of the times now. And in my own understanding, too, with my own work, stuff is breaking down that's dysfunctional. Whether that's in our own individual lives or it's at a bigger level. And what I was starting to say was that if our consciousness is connected at the core level with all other consciousness, which studies have shown now, starting with quantum physics, and I've talked about it on many other shows that I'm not going to go into the science of it again. It's also believed in the ancient Chinese culture, qi permeates all animate life, so all consciousness is connected. That means that if we're stressed and our consciousness is not feeling ease and light and able to see and feel and connect with the easier, lighter, happier parts of life, no matter what's happening, then that's going to be felt by others. And you know how cancer has become so much bigger in the last bunch of years? You remember back when AIDS was like that in the 80s and then it went away? From my understanding and many others' understanding, that's because our consciousnesses are connected and something like fear is contagious. There's a lot of fear on our planet right now because of a variety of reasons, and the primary being the stuff going on, being all of the stuff that's happening that's in the grand scale part of the change we're going through. In this change of one era of humanity into the evolution, we're in the midst of it right now as we go into another era in the history of humans. It's a huge time right now, and it's so resplendent with opportunities. We just have to be able to attune, and this requires some discipline mentally and some letting go. We just have to be able to attune ourselves to that highest perspective. I know that in the work that I do, it seems one of the most consistent aspects I am helping people with is getting perspective. We don't typically, because of a variety of factors, have a longitudinal perspective, particularly in America, because of our freshness, our newness still as a country, all the particular dynamics that go into us as a country, compared to a country that has an ancient civilization behind it that's still living with the relics of it amongst their culture. So if you're living amongst the Chinese, you have constant reminders of your 5,000-year-long history, for example. It's the same in India. It's not just in the museums. It's everywhere you go. You see it in the way people adorn themselves. You see it in the structures of the physical external environment, like the temples, like the date back how many thousands of years, etc. So there's also an aspect of when we focus on the subtle energies, like the chi or like prana in yoga, or like when we meditate, we have a connection to eternity. We have a connection to something bigger than our minds. When we don't have that soul, I'm going to go ahead and say that soulful connection, our mind takes over. Our mind thinks it runs the show. And our mind just absolutely loves to worry. Absolutely, it's a function of the mind. So in our times right now, we are completely ready and prepared and ripened as if we're a peach ready to be plucked from a tree to worry. That is the nature of the times we're in right now. So there is a momentum for fear. There is a momentum for worry. And what we're working to do is to pull ourselves up and out of it and stay out of that river. Just like every day when I teach meditation, let the thoughts go by like a leaf on a river. The current takes the river down and the leaf goes by. And we are on the side of the riverbank. Let the thoughts go by and come back to your breath and come back to the present moment, and you're still breathing. In doing this, y'all, with a crisis catalyzing it. Because it seems like Eckhart Tolle says the crisis is the teacher, the greatest spiritual teacher for the masses. What happens if we don't need crisis? It's one of the biggest points to my platform. What happens if we learn to live proactively and we are choosing to be awake and alive and make choices that sometimes are ones that aren't giving in to the mind's desires? So we're maybe, I don't know, without a crisis catalyzing our need to help somebody. You hold the door for that person or you let them go ahead in line, blah, 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 blah. You guys all know that. That's lecture type of information. What I'm talking about is different than that. Within our own inner dialogue, we don't let our mind get away with all of its demands and all of its desires and all of its coping mechanisms. So how do we do that? Well, that's what my entire platform is about, is presenting the tools, and we'll get there in today's show. But what I'd like to present to you is a connection between the physical diseases that are the most common in our country and where our power lies within being able to not have those diseases. Okay? And then talking about some of the common tools. So here's a statistic that I find incredibly interesting. The Center for Disease Control said that for visits to a physician's office, the statistics run that 71% of the visits involve drug therapy, meaning somebody goes to a doctor and they leave, 71% of the people leave with a drug prescription, at least one. The most common ones prescribed are analgesics, which are used to reduce pain, antihyperlipidemics, which are used to treat the high levels of fat or cholesterol, at second, and third is antidepressants. Then the CDC also goes on to talk about the in hospital outpatient visits, the drug prescriptions involved is 75% of the time. The drugs that are prescribed, again, the number one is analgesics for pain relief. The second one here with outpatient visits to hospitals are antidepressants. The third one is antidiabetics. Then when we go to hospital emergency room visits, 77% of the visits include drug prescription. The most common, the first one, again, is pain relief. The second one is used to combat nausea or vomiting. The third one is anti-vertigo ones to combat dizziness, which are usually often accompanying the nausea and the vomiting from the second most common prescribed drug, and then the antihistamines for allergies. All of those, pain relief for chronic pain, high cholesterol, antidepressants, anti-diabetic, anti-allergens, anti-vertigo, even all of that can be dealt with through lifestyle choices. I know frequently the energies, particularly nowadays, are making people feel dizzy, off balance, losing their footing easily, more easily than they normally do, extra tired, needing more sleep. There's a lot of work that's going on at the subtle level. And when I say subtle, I mean at the unseen level. So we're going to go back to those stats in a minute. Quantum physics has shown that, like we think under the Newtonian physics that's still taught in the textbooks for science in the schools, is that it is matter that is the bottom substance in the universe, but that quantum physics now have said, no, it's actually energy. And the studies are all corroborating that, and it actually matches what the ancient cultures have understood too, is that at the core of everything, it's all this alive consciousness, as we've already said. So if that's the case, and it doesn't break down to the physical, then that means that there's something going on in the energy, which is the foundation for the physical, or the consciousness, which is the foundation for the physical. Please let yourself not be turned off by the terms and just take in what is being said here, because you will gain from it. Even if you don't believe in this, even if you're hesitant to come out of your belief system, just let yourself take this in, because it can revolutionize and completely change your life. So then therefore, oh my God, is that an eagle flying over my head? Wow. Sky is so blue here. I'm in Florida. You can hear the water running in the background, maybe. It's a sunny Friday afternoon. So, coming back, with energy, in my experience as an energy healer for 16 years now, what I have seen is that, in what my training has taught me in the holistic model, is that what we know of in our Western medical system as disease starts at the energy level. So if, now going back to the science, but because it's still new sciences, because it hasn't penetrated our medical system whatsoever yet, and it hasn't even penetrated our mainstream science, even though it's quantum physics, which is part of our mainstream orthodox science, it's not the dominant model still. It's taking over 100 years for this to shift because it's such radical information, and it shifts and switches the way that we view the world. And it also puts the responsibility and the power back in our hands. So if we direct consciousness with our thoughts, whether they're subconscious or conscious, then that means we're moving energy. So we can move energy in directions to make something dematerialize, like a tumor, as well as create a tumor. There's other factors besides our thoughts. Toxins, the amount of toxins in our system that come from the food, the air, the water, as well as our own emotions, because emotions, if they're negative, carry a toxic load. So these factors combined, yes, create cancer. It's not just thoughts, and it's not just if you have, like, negative thoughts for a month, all of a sudden you're going to end up with cancer. It's not at all what I'm saying. It's not that quick. In fact, one of the things that frequently needs to get communicated, too, I find, is that because of our consumer-based society with a really good customer service and our medical system, we are trained to expect results really quickly. And with natural healing, the results don't turn that quickly. So I can see as people are starting to shift, because basically what's happening is we have a certain momentum going with our thoughts and with our consciousness around our body and our life. The way that we've lived our life, our thoughts have been of a certain nature. And if all of a sudden, because of a tumor or a crisis, we are flagged that we need to change, it takes a while to come off and recondition a new path. Just like you take a machete, like I was saying when I did the meditation show a couple of weeks back, the cutting of you're in the jungle and you're coming off of the old thoughts, which is a well-worn path in the jungle. You don't have to do any cutting. You can just walk down easily to retrain ourselves. We have a machete, we're in the jungle, and we're cutting down the jungle vegetation in front of us as we go. It's really thick, we're getting scratches on our arms. The second time we walk down that path, we cut more down, but it's easier to go down the path. The third time, it's even easier, it's more well-worn. It's the same thing. It takes a while for the universe to align in a new way, to shift energy, because basically we've made a command, okay, this is going to change, and it takes a while. When I say a while, nowadays it's a lot quicker than it once was, even 5 years ago or even last year. And it also depends on how light the person is. And that means how positive, happy, and much they've worked on themselves to clear themselves of their more self-denigrating beliefs and the heavier beliefs of fear or of worry or resentment or anger. Any of those heavier beliefs slow us down when we are, and they could even be lodged in the subconscious. So when we've done enough work by a certain point on ourselves, with ourselves and our thinking, in our consciousness and our energy, if we've had energy healing, we've done yoga classes or Qigong or Tai Chi or a whole host of practices that are out there now, then we've lightened up enough. We can move the energy quicker than somebody who's heavier, meaning denser, who actually move slower and actually feel heavier to be around. Like you're more tired and drained when you've been around them. That person can't move the energy as quickly as a person who has done their work. So it does still take a little bit of time. It does not happen, it being the results when we work with energy, as quickly as we usually expect from our backdrop of our mainstream culture here. So it does require a little bit of patience, but what we're basically doing is we're sending out a new energy that is calling forth from the bigger field of consciousness, a matching energy, which is a new one for us. And so it takes a while for us to build up almost that savings account with that certain threshold reached, and then everything collapses in the energy field, and it collapses into this from the old way into the new way. And that means we're seeing what we've been desiring on the surface. The brain tumor goes away, for example. But there's like a time amount in there where we're just continuing to send our thoughts, continuing to send our positive visualizations, continuing to send our belief and our trust and our faith in working towards that new thing. There's a time in there where it seems it just requires faith and trust. So if we're not working with our consciousness, it's nonetheless affecting the greater field. It's nonetheless interacting with the greater field. And that means the energy of the trees, the energy of the plants, the energy of the butterflies, the dragonflies, the air, the cosmos, the heavens. And it's suggested in native cultures around the planet who have an understanding of consciousness that our consciousness is therefore interacting with the earth. So some suggest that because we haven't cleaned up our own consciousness as a collective, we're dealing with the earth doing what it's doing right now. The earth is taking care of itself. It's a live, living planet with the concept Gaia. And now there's science to back this again. So if you need the scientific proof, it's out there. Everything in the animate world is alive with this permeating consciousness underneath it all. It's called the field. It's called chi. It's called consciousness. You can look up quantum physics, the observer effect. And then you can listen to these shows because the science is provided throughout. And then read my book when it comes out next month, What If There Is Nothing Wrong? Because it goes totally through all of the science, taking us from our historical model in the West, being focused on the physical, to where we are today. So we go to a doctor with these pains, and we think it's just something physical, when in fact it started a long time ago in our thinking. Our thinking was of a certain nature, day in and day out, over and over and over again, the same thinking over and over and over again, that wasn't necessarily positive or moving forward and expanding and us challenging ourselves to grow in the places that we sense and we get those little quiet hints that we know we need to do. And so it's kind of a resistance kind of dynamic. We might be worrying instead of trusting. And it sends energy in a certain way. And so something will develop because the consciousness or the chi or the prana, the life force energy, isn't able to travel throughout our system, distributed by the chakras down the meridians. There's all these invisible lines that are like highways throughout our body, and we have these major energy centers down the center line. Shows on chakras were a couple of months back, if you want to go back and listen to it. So there's a way that this consciousness distributes throughout our body. If it can't get through, because we have blocks, and the blocks happen from repeated negative thinking or repeated, and I don't mean to say in general negative thinking. I mean, because we all get negative. That's not what's being said here. But if it's a particular dysfunctional belief that hinders our own well-being, that's what I mean. And it's not necessarily only if you worry. So again, people typically, the nature of the mind is to then leap to the biggest fear. So please, right now, that's what I'm addressing, because it's not what's being said. Just try and manage against that and just breathe through it, or let it go, or whatever you know to do. Let it be the leaf floating down the river's current, and hear and feel the intention of the meaning with what I am communicating. So if all of these, what's called in the holistic model, symptoms on the physical level of chronic pain, of even depression, cancer, but that's not one of the drugs that was quoted that we were just talking about, of diabetes, of high cholesterol, of even high blood pressure, all of that is resultant of our thinking and our daily lifestyle choices. So, for example, if you go to a doctor in the traditional Chinese medical system, or you go to an Ayurvedic doctor from India, they're going to look at your daily lifestyle choices, because it's from a holistic model. We come from a reductionist model that analyzes and reduces down into one problem, identify one entity, and then treat that one entity. So that, for example, here, if somebody goes to a doctor, or in any Western medical system across the world now at this point, in any industrialized nation, they go with a stomach complaint, an endoscopy is done, and a gastric ulcer is concluded. Nothing about the patient's lifestyle is taken into account, whereas if somebody goes in with a stomach complaint into a traditional Chinese doctor or an Indian Ayurvedic doctor, then the complexion is looked at, the foods are asked about what you'd normally eat, the emotional reactivity or the emotional evenness or the lack of defensiveness or the lack of aggression or assertiveness. And then if there is some present in the way that the patient's interacting with the doctor is observed, so the emotions, the diet, the levels of sleep, the levels of energy, the complexion, the eyes, the whiteness of the eyes, the tongue, everything and more than I just said is included in to get a whole picture of what's going on with this person, to then understand and rebalance the system. We're only dealing with the physical here. And when we only deal with the physical symptoms, meaning like chronic pain, it's perfect, because then we treat it at the physical level only here with the Western medical system, like drugs, which gets at the physical level, and like, you know, it's a chemical drug, yes, it's still staying at the surface level. Chemical is still physical. It's not down at the subatomic energy level that we're talking about. So if you think of like a diagram from school, and you're looking at like a cross-section of the crust of the earth, and then you go down through the layers of the earth, the physical is the topmost layer. And so drugs stay at that topmost layer, as obviously does surgery. So the point is that if there are practices out there, let me back up even more. So stress, here's some interesting statistics. 90% of all doctor visits in the U.S. are triggered by stress-related illnesses. So 90% of the visits to all primary care physicians are stress-based from stress complaints. What stress does is it, people, for example, under chronic stress had above normal levels of interleukin-6, which is an immune system protein that promotes inflammation. So inflammation comes from stress. And that's been linked then, therefore, with heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, rheumatoid arthritis, severe infections, and even certain cancers. So what that means is if we become inflamed, it's because our immune system has been decreased by stress. There's a new field called psychoneuroimmunology, and I'm hoping to get Candace Pert on to the show within the next 2 months so that she can talk about her discoveries, because she's one of the first people to really work within the psychoneuroimmunology field. And psycho is mind, neuro is neurons, communication throughout the body, and immunology is the immune system. So psychoneuroimmunology is how the mind and the body communicate at the immune system and affect the immune system, how the communication affects the immune system. So it's been found that our level of, let's say, vitality and robustness and live aliveness keeps a hearty immune system, and the opposite is true as well. So if with our chronic stress, you guys, or with our perpetual stress, we are living with cells and energy beneath the physical cells, an energy that circulates or doesn't throughout the system that has a certain tone to it. After a while, living under feeling squeezed because you're too stressed, and that will eventually gradually decrease the immune system, which then eventually leads to the things I just listed and then others. People in other countries don't age expecting arthritis. People in other countries don't age expecting high blood pressure. People in other countries don't age expecting to go on cholesterol medications. There's another leg to this, a book that came out last January by a couple of doctors in Dartmouth, and I've spoken about this in another radio show. We're talking about how it's been so challenging for them over the last 14 years, in particular, to keep up with the medication prescription suggestions or parameters within the medical field, because they keep changing. The threshold when to put someone on medication keeps getting lowered. So he was saying, and I'm off the top of my head forgetting the name of the book right now, it's three different doctors out of Dartmouth, over-medicating, I think is in the title. I quoted in my book. They're talking about how when he used to prescribe blood pressure regulating medication to reduce blood pressure medication, when somebody was in a warning stage before and he wouldn't prescribe, say 5 years ago, that's now in a stage or a level that they give out a prescription for. And ultimately, it's creating a million new patients on pharmaceuticals over the last 5 years or so. So keeping all of that in mind, and my intention is not to go down that path. Keeping all of this in mind, however, if what is being presented here is that our thoughts move consciousness and block our consciousness or vitality from moving throughout our system, and then also influences our immune system, that then turns into inflammation, that then gives us what we go get medicated for, where does it seem like we should be looking to? Absolutely, the drugs are the quick fix. Yes. But then what obviously ends up happening for the side effects is an unnecessary conversation. So another aspect here, too, that's worth bringing up, very worth bringing up, because I can view a house full of noise and aliveness and people talking loudly and activity and dogs and vacuuming as love, as a sign of love. And I could picture a silent house, a quiet house, a sign of a lack of love. My subconscious could conclude that from my lifetime programming. However, Jane could have grown up, and let's say, too, that I grew up in a household with three brothers, and we always had people over, which is the case. So I grew up used to an alive, robust household, and that was a sign of aliveness. Let's say Jane grew up as an only child, and her mother was a single mother, and it was a very quiet household. They didn't talk a lot. It wasn't that they were suppressed or had a bad relationship, but it was a quieter household. It was only the two of them. So when Jane goes into my household, she reacts with, ah! Right? So Jane would perceive that household that's loud to be stress. I would perceive that household to be love. The key to if we have a biochemical shift in our body that is stress-induced is our perception of an event. So if we have just gone through Sandy, here I go, I'm bringing it all home. If we have just gone through Sandy and then storms, if I am perceiving it instead of as a good thing, how could this be a good thing, Allison? If I am choosing to trust the bigger perspective that we are in an era of massive transformation where all of the stuff that's been dysfunctional in human thought and in human society is breaking down in one way or another as we are shifting into a new era in the history of humanity. And part of what we're being shown by this increase in storms is, oh my God, maybe there is a connection between our consciousness and the Earth's response. Let's say that that becomes a mainstream view within the next 5 years. Can you see then how you'll feel about Sandy in the snowstorm afterwards? Mountaintop perspective is something that always, mountaintop perspective means you will have trust because you're trusting that there is a bigger picture to it all. The mind loves self-absorption. One of the biggest suggestions made by me and other experts when dealing with depressed people, clients or patients, is go out and volunteer. Because a mind that is depressed is a mind that is narcissistic and or extremely self-absorbed. So a mind also that is depressed is a mind that, and check this one out because this is really, really interesting stuff. The energy, look at the word depression, D, of pressure. We have this natural bubbling, emanating life force, like we're a fountain, bubbling up and out, or like we're a tree reaching up and out, and it wants to expand. And I've talked about this before in other shows. If we don't expand it, if we don't go with our natural inclination to take that new step, to go to that new workshop, to go to that new place, to meet that new person, to say yes to going to that new class, to say yes to that new job, to make that phone call that we know is going to lead to not status quo. If we say yes to it, then our energy continues to move directed outwardly to expansion is what I mean by outwardly when I say outwardly. If we pull back because the mind is saying, no, don't do it, because the mind wants, as it does, it's totally predictable. In the face of change, it wants status quo. In fact, how many of you are where you are because of resistance to change? And then you had to have a crisis come in to flag you to say, this absolutely has to change. How is that coming in? How is that bigger crisis coming in saying, hey, you have to change? I mean, where is that coming from? Is it coming from our soul level that knows what is our highest good and always has that in mind that we cut our hearing off to because our mind doesn't, when we are in our thoughts and we live life from the mind and we go and we do, we don't have the space to hear the softness and the quiet, more quiet voice of the soul. The feather touches, if you will, that as we're doing something, the light, soft, quiet voice might just give a little hint of a, hey, no, do this one instead.
and we're thinking, oh, God, that's going to be too inconvenient, and I still want to do this, and this is just easier because we want to go with the momentum of what we've already built up, and we don't make the new choice. So we override our soul's whisper or our higher self's guidance or intuition with our mind, and or we don't go into questioning it. Yeah, but how could that be true? That's so illogical. That's so unreasonable. And then we can go into analysis of, you know, plan A, which is what I was going to do, has all of these pros and all of these cons. Whereas if I do that with plan B, how do I know that that's going to turn out as good? And then we go into the figuring it out state, all mind energy. Living life from a higher perspective and living life charged with a sense of the magic and beauty in life means listening to some of that not so clear in its objective guidance. I mean, sometimes the logic, I don't mean I'm saying jump off a bridge that says jump off a bridge, obviously. That's from a different tone entirely and completely. I mean, you know what I mean. Walking forward, taking that step. You have that quieter nagging in you that's saying, no, go over there. And you don't do it, and you stay straight-lined because that's what you had in place. So when we do honor that guidance and live life with that awareness more activated, then we're expanding and then we're spreading outward. When we suppress it, we suppress that energy that is meant for expansion downward into ourselves, and we become depressed. The nature of depression, the actual quintessence of what depression is us suppressing our expansion. Yeah, I'll say that again. The nature of depression is us suppressing our expansion. Typically, it's the mind coming in with all of what I just said, doubting the guidance, fearing whatever the expansion is going to bring, fearing the change, not wanting to deal with the change or the inconvenience of the change. And so it suppresses back the guidance, the hit, the idea, the intuition to go there instead, do it this way instead, and we push it back down and continue to go along the way we're going. That's the suppression of the expansion energy. Isn't that gorgeous? I mean, absolutely a beautiful statement, too, about life, and that we have this innate wiring within us to help us expand and grow and be as happy and as vital and thrive as we can, as much as we can. That is our inherent wiring. And once we learn to work with the mind and its thoughts and make it serviceable to us as the unit it's meant to be, instead of it being the full-on show where it's totally in charge, it grows our connection with our intuitive guidance and our knowing. And we don't need to go to psychics, and we don't need to go to healers as much, and we don't need to go to the clergy as much, and we don't need to go to the doctors as much, because we have that knowing. I'm not saying don't go to your doctor. I'm not saying don't go to your church or your synagogue. I'm not saying any of that. That's not what I'm saying by what I am saying. It's so crazy sometimes because the mind just makes those leaps. So coming it all full circle now, again, the key is to listen to those softer cautions or those softer whispers of an idea along the way. And trust when there is actual big crisis, that part of it is your higher self is saying, okay, you've been too stubborn for too long. Your mind has been running the show. You're not listening. We need to bang you over the head with this crisis. And move through the crisis as gracefully as you can, trusting that it's happening for your highest good. So ways that we can deal with ourselves, our minds, our thoughts, our stress, we can make different choices. I know that one of the typical ways to live life is to think, I have all these necessities. I have these bills to pay, so therefore I have to do this job, which provides me with the money to pay these bills, and that's what I'm doing. And we spend the time not liking our job, spend the time not enjoying our lives working so much at this particular job or doing this particular thing. But we have convinced ourselves, because we don't even know that there's other options, that this is a necessity. I'm not saying that it's not a necessity to get your bills paid. What I am saying is the choice of how to do it. And what about even construing that money isn't meant just to pay bills? And money isn't meant to just be earned from work. We have all of these structures in society, in our belief systems, that we have inherited from generations and generations ago that are no longer functional in our age today, and that is what's breaking down to get us to be able to live life a lot more from connection and awareness to that higher self inside of us, and a lot less from the mind's dominance. And my platform is all about helping people in the West, my fellow Americans in particular, see that it's our tradition and our culture that doesn't give us tools to look inside and to value looking inside. That's why I have nurses, and that's why I have lawyers, and that's why I have people coming to me from the financial industry saying, oh my God, help. Just numbed down and not feeling and burned out and stressed out and not feeling alive. So what are you going to do with your one precious life? What are you going to do in these next 10 seconds? What are you going to do in the next 10 seconds after that? Choice in every moment. And perhaps that's why there has been just so much crisis, and just the way it's been happening, is to shake up that stability, that status quo that the mind demands and loves and wants, because it helps maintain the mind's dominance and control over us, opening up to that more expansive self, because then the mind isn't in such dominance. And perhaps the level of crises that we're fielding is to shake that up, to shake up the mind's dominance. And something that I've been saying for the last 15 years or so is, why do we have to learn through crisis? Why can't we learn proactively through joy? I'm not saying that New York was, what's happening in New York and New Jersey was deserved and it was a lesson and there's wrongness and badness there. That's not what's being said. Yeah. Meditation is the key, in my opinion. Energy healing is a strong second, but meditation is the key. Some kind of practice where you are able to observe your mind in action, so you can get familiarized with its games. And I tell you what, it is so predictable. If you go into a party and you look at how people interact with each other, you can, once you get to know your own mind, you can see how familiar everybody else's mind is and how there is a nature to the mind. And it's not even personal. In Buddhism, they say every human being has an erotic mind. Every human mind is an erotic mind. And then they work with it. Yeah, that's what I'm striving, along with many others, to bring out in our model, in our paradigm over here in America and in the West, so that we have an extraordinary sense of discipline in this country. We certainly do. But so that it's used in a different way, too. One of the things that I say in my book as well is that after 10 years of living in Asia, and I lived there when it seemed like the East was on fire with modernizing. And I used to say, my God, the East is on fire. And the comparison of coming back here to the States, where it just felt kind of like a dulled down, grayer energy, like just not as alive. This is 2 months before 9/11 and going into 2 years into Obama's administration that I was gone from this country, just coming back in the summers. And so my intention is, well, let me back up. I'm sorry. What I'm working to make the point of right now is that they being the Eastern Hemisphere, during modernization and globalization, our commercialization, our consumerism, our MTV, our pop culture, our McDonald's, our Starbucks, our Apple iPods and Macs and iPads and Nikes and the pop culture stars and the movies and the food and the way of life, they've taken that. And they're running with it. And in the States, what have we gotten from the globalization? How much do we allow ourselves to look at genuinely practices from other countries and where we're lacking? My book goes into this in much more detail, talking about where our model today seems incomplete and what they're benefiting from our model, and how they're benefiting from our model, and what we could take to then benefit ourselves and our country. Because we're suffering, no doubt about it. Look at that map about how polarized the country is. And it's like that for a reason right now. It is like that on our planet right now. And it seems like as we go through this time of change leading up to December 21st, there's this juxtaposition or contrast that's even stronger between the light and the dark, or between the fear and the trust and faith. I want to put out there that on December 21st, I'm going to be in at the Mayan ruins in Mexico. There's a banner on the web page here for the radio show, The Mayan Cruise. It's below the show's write-up. And it leaves from Galveston Bay, Texas, on December 17th, and it comes back December 22nd. There's Mayan elders who are going to be conducting ceremonies at the ruins on December 21st. Fred Allen Wolf, a quantum physicist, is going to be on the cruise. Dr. Susan Shumsky is going to be on the cruise. I'm going to be teaching yoga every morning and doing energy healings. And there's a host of other speakers and astrologers and Mayan specialists. When I say Mayan specialists, I mean people who have worked with the meaning behind the Mayan calendar's prediction for what December 21st is supposed to be, and then working with the actual energies at these sacred sites that came up with the prediction that December 21st is going to be what it's meant to be, and working with those energies at the sites on that day. So the cruise, you can click on the banner and it will take you to information about it. It's going to be fantastic. I'm totally psyched that that's how I've chosen to spend my December 21st. It was a big yes for me. So I followed it. That's a really great tool too. So when you're making a choice about something you want to do this weekend, play with this one, because that's what this all is. I know that it seems heavy, and it can be heavy, but really, it's all play. Play with the consciousness and see what comes into your life. Then you'll see how this works. So, if you have a choice to make what to do this weekend, check around your throat area when you think of yes, no. So, for example, do I want to go to that event? And you say yes, and feel if your throat area expands out and feels lighter. Throat and chest. And now, if I go to this event, should I go to this event? No. Does that make you feel constricted, like you're not able to expand out from your throat and chest area, and more like you want to put your hand to your throat? That's a no. So you can use that gauge. Do you gain expansion, or do you feel contraction when faced with a choice? And play with that. Follow your yes. That will build on itself. There is definitely momentum to working with consciousness. And so change in the beginning is hard. And a lot of times we don't want to make it, so then we end up with crises. So starting to work with your consciousness and starting to choose to say yes is the way to shift your consciousness and to restore health and vitality and well-being to your system if you don't already have it. It's a way to grow more. So when we choose our happiness and live our lives centered around that, ourselves sing in health and vitality, energy runs up and down our system, and we are expanding and connecting with the bigger field, which then supports us back, mirroring back in a like-attracting, law of magnetism way, more expansion, more yeses, more happiness. Yeah. So that's the number one tool. And anything and everything that won't allow for that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, online, shorts, boys and beyond. Saying yes is the number one tool. Saying yes to lightness and happiness and joy and expansion. And again, anything and everything that doesn't allow for that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Yes! Times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, all nine, short, boys and beyond. There is health reasons and health benefits for saying yes and being happy. There's financial return for saying yes and choosing happiness. There's financial and health returns and vitality returns and, good sex returns for saying yes to being happy. So the next time that your mind wants to bite you back from expanding, How about choosing the exact opposite of what your mind wants to do? I was given that suggestion before. It's one of the best suggestions I ever got from my meditation teacher, my first meditation teacher. And these are the most basic primary tools to start to work with creating health and vitality and balance and equanimity right now in our country. And grounding into calm, more light, more joy, no matter what. Choose happiness, no matter what. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.